In Grand Rapids, Michigan this week, historians are meeting to discuss one part of American history they say has long been neglected. The Midwest, states from Ohio to Illinois to Minnesota and Missouri. Joining us now are two historians participating in the conference, Pamela Riney-Kerberg, who chairs the Department of History at Iowa State University. Welcome to you.
Thank you.
And John Lauck is also with us. He's a co-organizer of the conference, author of several books on Midwest history, including The Lost Region. He teaches the history of the Midwest. And John Lauck, start us off. Why have this conference? This is obviously something that matters a lot to you.
Well, we started a couple of years ago pushing for more attention to the history of the Midwest. We formed an organization, and we've tried to get people to write more books and articles about the Midwest. And the next logical step is to have a big conclave of people who are interested in this initiative and bring them together. And hopefully people outside the region can hear about our cause.
Well, why do you have that cause? Why do you think that the Midwest and the history of the Midwest is being forgotten?
Unfortunately, given the shuffling that's gone on in the academic world in the last 50 years or so, the Midwest has disappeared from the discipline of history. It used to be a very vibrant field that had a major organization behind it and many journals that focused on the Midwest. But for a variety of reasons over the last 20 years, all of that collapsed, and all the institutional supports which were once there for Midwestern history have gone into decline.
Well, where do you begin when you start to tell the story of the Midwest?
If you want to study the Midwest, you begin at the American Revolution, because the American Midwest formally began with the Northwest Ordinance, at least I argue. Now, of course, there's a very interesting prehistory here involving the battles among various imperial powers, British, French, Spanish, Native American, and all of this came together. All of these historical events led to this moment in 1787 when this brand new American government began to organize this big space that we now know of as the American Midwest.
Pamela Riney-Kerberg, why did you get involved in this, and what is the story that you want to tell about the history of the Midwest?
I got involved with Midwestern history simply as a matter of where I was living. I grew up on the Great Plains, but went to graduate school in the Midwest and somehow ended up living then for 30 years in the Midwest and became interested in the place where I lived and the communities that formed the agricultural heartland. I'm a rural and agricultural historian, and there's really no better place to study that particular history.
And one wonders how long that will last. How long do you think agriculture is going to be so critical to the economy of the Midwest and the identity of the Midwest?
Well, I don't think you can get away from it being critical to the economy of the Midwest. Whether it's small farmers growing grain or much larger farmers growing grain, we have not outgrown our need for grain and our need for food and fuel. And how that agriculture is carried out is going to change, but its degree of importance probably won't, particularly when you look at what's happening with drought in California and the enormous amount of food that's imperiled by that drought there. We're going to have to be fed by another part of the country, and that other part of the country may very well be the Midwest.
How important has the Mississippi River been in shaping the history of the Midwest?
It's enormously important. All of that travel up and down, but also the enormous natural disasters along it that have shaped the landscape. It's definitely an important economic driver.
And full disclosure, by the way, I am from the Midwest myself. I am from central Illinois, which, by the way, has a very different history than Missouri or Iowa or where you are, John, in South Dakota. Can you really lump the Midwest together in that way?
Well, I think one of the defining features of the Midwest is its diversity. People think of the Midwest as this kind of homogeneous blob of white people. That's not true of the Midwest. This is a very multi-ethnic, region, which involves a lot of different kinds of topography and plant life and geography and history. That's what makes it interesting. And in the 19th century, the Midwest was the most diverse region in the country, and it had the most number of immigrants, and it had the most different kinds of industry and farming and agriculture. And this story is just not well known.
Well, Pamela, what is the cultural identity, in your view, of somebody who was shaped by the Midwest? What is the historical image of a Midwesterner?
I think our Midwestern identity is very much shaped by place, by a set of cultural norms that are perhaps a little different than in other parts of the country. You know, many of the Midwestern states are characterized as nice states. There's Iowa nice, there's Minnesota nice. There's a cultural sensibility that I think really encourages us to be cognizant that other people are perhaps different than we are.
Well, and we think back over history and we think of some of the famous people that have come out of the Midwest. Of course, right now we're all talking about Abraham Lincoln because it's 150 years since his assassination. But also there are people like Mark Twain. What to you, John, is the ideal image of a Midwesterner over the course of history?
Well, I'm glad you brought up Abraham Lincoln. Of course, he's from your neck of the woods in southern Illinois, Jeremy, and I think he's really the first iconic Midwesterner, the first Midwesterner to become president of the United States, and the person who represented this new interior party, which kind of caught a wave in 1860 and ended up making a great deal of history, as we know. Unfortunately, we don't really get much beyond Abraham Lincoln when we think about the Midwest, and we don't think about the details of its history. From the very beginning, it was enshrined in the Northwest Ordinance that slavery would be prohibited in the territories or the ultimate states of the Midwest. Now, that doesn't mean that slavery was completely eliminated from the scene. There was some indentured servitude, and there was problems implementing this ban in the southern parts of the Midwest, southern Indiana, southern Illinois, etc. But it set the standard for the region. And so the Midwest, over time, became this destination for people escaping the South, for African Americans escaping the South. You may remember that famous scene from Uncle Tom's Cabin. The big goal was to race across the Ohio River so you could get into the Midwest and ultimately to freedom. And of course, the abolitionist movement was very strong in the Midwest, in Ohio and Iowa. And so this is a way of drawing out the contrast between regions in the United States, between the North and the South. If we knew our history better, if we knew where those fugitive slaves were trying to get, if we understood that region better, we'd understand the whole of our history a lot better.
Pamela, if there is a lesson that the rest of the nation can take from the history of the Midwest, what would you say that lesson is?
I think the Midwestern lesson is essentially about blooming where you're planted. That it has historically taken a lot of endurance, a lot of patience, a lot of hard work to do the work of the Midwest. You know, we're states of agriculture and states which were long known for heavy industry. But people put down roots. People had families. There are a lot of virtues to learning to bloom where you're planted and work hard and endure.
That's Pamela Riney-Kerberg, who chairs the Department of History at Iowa State University, joining us from Ames, Iowa. And we've been speaking with John Lauck, author of several books on the Midwest and its history, including The Lost Region. He was in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. They are both going to be participating in the Conference on Midwest History, which gets underway this week in Grand Rapids, Michigan.